Hello and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Lucy Smith.
And me, Michael Henry.
This week we'll be talking about animation. And you've chosen shorter films, like a string of them, which is a new one.
Yeah, I've selected a collection of short films by one of my favourite, I don't want to call them animators, but like a brother duo. That doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah.
A duo of brothers
who
created some of the best animation, in my opinion, of all time. And yeah, I feel like we're going to cover quite an interesting amount of ground with these two, because mine's stop motion and yours is hand-drawn. And I think they've probably moved towards computer-generated hand-drawn as well.
What, the Studio Ghibli?
Yeah.
No, they do it traditionally. Oh, well, okay. They've stopped now, haven't they? But yeah.
Well, they've come back. I mean, as a studio, they're still producing, I think.
Okay. But yeah, all the films that were sort of the classic ones were, yeah, and leading up to quite recent, it's all very meticulous. Like that film that was for the old age one that we did with Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, the studio, just full of people replicating basically what the director wants to see in his mind eye. It's a really weird one.
Yeah, I was rereading about how he... I don't want to say plans, but how he produces these films. And I think you brought it up in the documentary episode where it's just, there isn't a script. It's just he starts and then he'll create the next image and then the story just kind of comes to him that way, which I think kind of explains, with your pick in particular, some of the elements that don't necessarily make sense, but that's why it's so good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd say both of us have a dream quality. But actually, I would say that's, like, if you're doing animation right, it's like this medium where you can do something which you could never do with real filming, so you might as well do the impossible. Like,
yeah, I feel like that's the problem in some ways with animation, is that it's become very uniform in some ways. Like, we have an expectation of a Pixar looking film. I'm not dissing Pixar, because I actually think they're really good, but a Pixar looking computer generated family film is kind of the expectation of animation. But like you're saying, there's so much, you can do anything. The problem is that you could do anything and then people don't do anything with it, or you know, their ideas are quite limited. So Toy Story, well-made films, but the idea there is they've animated some toys,
but still
that's about as far as the,
that's relatively rare to have your dolls. I don't know.
Yeah, of course, but I'm talking about if you can create a world from complete scratch.
Yeah, shall I introduce,
why base it in the real world?
Spirited Away. Yeah, so Spirited Away, filmed by Studio Ghibli, and it's basically this young girl moving house. Her and her parents stop off of this old abandoned fairground, and her parents decide to start nomming on some food, which turns out to be the spirit's food, and they get captured. And the whole thing is her going into this spirit world, trying to get her parents back and sort of navigating it all. But yeah, you've got random crazy stuff going on, spirits appearing out of nowhere, radish spirits, people having baths, a boiler man with eight legs. Like, people having baths isn't surreal, but it is in this film.
This is probably the first week where your description makes sense, because it's so scattershot and weird. That's kind of what the film is too.
The main thing, I guess, is there's this villain, if you will, but he's not really a villain, called No Face, who's a spirit who's just sort of can turn kind of mean, but following her. And I really love this film. It's one of my most watched films ever. And when I was growing up, I'm really thankful for it, because I think it was the first film that taught me that monsters are just lonely.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a lovely story. The music is beautiful. The drawing is exquisite. And like we were saying, it does do surreal stuff, but it also like lingers on the everyday, like how light falls in through a window. It'll be like a 5-second shot and stuff. It's beautiful as well.
Yeah, I stand by it too. I think it's one of the best. I don't know if I want to go as far as to say it could be the best animated film I've ever seen. I don't know.
I'd have to have a think, but
I'm gonna say, yes, I think it is. there's a few others that come to mind, which we'll get into in a bit, but I think yours is, for a feature film that's hand-drawn, is probably the best that that can be.
It is so beautifully done. And I think with the hand-drawn as well, there's certain charms to it that CGI just can't grasp, no matter how hard it tried.
Yeah, I think with CGI, it's about trying to capture a realistic version of the thing, whereas hand-drawn has this kind of... I mean, you talk about some of the mundane real-world elements that they linger on. There's still a weird, dreamy, beautiful and bizarre feeling to a lot of those, I don't want to say shots, but those frames. Because obviously, because it's hand-drawn, it kind of waves on the screen a bit. So it's never completely static, and it's never... It never feels wooden. It always feels like it's moving and fluid. And
I think, love that, like paintings can do, and different sorts of art, there's something about replicating a space which you could, a human could step into, like theoretically, but that's never quite the real world. There's always something magical about it. And these films make, as you were saying before, make a whole world that we couldn't possibly step into, but it can feel so familiar the more you watch it. And it's, there's a bit of magic in that, I think.
Magic's the key word, I think. I think with every single animated film, I don't even want to say if they're done right. I just mean in general, they do create a sense of magic. There is that kind of naive and, I don't know how to word it, but there's like a sense of discovery in what they create. Even if it is, even something like Finding Nemo, although it's kind of based in our world, you know what I mean, it's kind of replicating water and these things,
but they're reimagining what it would look like to the fish
but there is a magical element to those things too, I think.
I think my main thing when I was rewatching, thinking about it, was how, so with a normal film, you got director, you got actors, and how like the person who draws or moves or, you know, does anything with animation films and like moves these, there'll usually be at least creatures, if not little humans involved. And they decide what their face does, what the how the character moves. I guess like they got to listen to the director, and then they interpret it, and that's its own sort of like performance art in a way. It's
weird. it's definitely a team effort. Like, you can't do this stuff on your own. And I'd be curious to know. I mean, I've spoken to people who are like heads of animation studios, and we've talked about how the process of a film would be very much script, break down the script, start to figure out where we're going to film these elements. Whereas with animation, it's kind of the storyboard. The storyboards are kind of the blueprint. You would start with the storyboards and you'd build on them, and then you'd send them to different departments to build upon those things. Like colouring is one thing, and someone would be specialised in expressions and movement, for instance. I think one thing that interests me most about animation is the fact, obviously, you can have this, there's so much attention to detail and there's so much work that goes into them. There's an element of control that I don't think you can get with a film that's shot in the real world, let's say. I mean, one thing I do love about it is that is you can capture things that are kind of improvised, whereas you probably don't get that with animation. But the attention to detail and kind of perfecting an image, that's definitely something that's quite interesting about animation, I think.
I wondered about how they're made, because obviously Studio Ghibli is massive. Like, maybe the improvisation comes when the main guy's doing his storyboards as opposed to when it's actually made.
Well, I would say with your pick in particular, Miyazaki is very different to, let's say, Disney or Pixar or anyone like that, because they meticulously plan every single detail from script to storyboard, everything, because they're so concerned about it as a product. That's why I love Miyazaki so much, is like you say, he improvises as he's creating it. So it becomes this organic story, and these characters just come out of imagination. I'm not saying they don't with a sort of prescribed type filmmaking style, but...
But I also wonder with like the stop motion and stuff, anything that's sort of made like that, or even a drawn one that's got a bit less discipline than Studio Ghibli, if there is room for improvisation, like something drops in the set, or like you're trying to do a face on a tiny person but it goes wrong, and then you go, hang on, I really like that. That there's room there, surely. It depends.
Maybe with stop motion. I'm not sure. I've never made anything beyond a very mediocre stop motion, like short, so
I used to make them as a kid with Play-Doh.
They're great fun. They're great fun, and it's a unit that I have to teach where I teach film and media, which is always so much fun, but it's so meticulous. Like, it's so time consuming. I'm patient. Like, 3 years making a film start to finish, that's about as patient as I can get. Like, the level of detail to the your pick and my pick, I don't think I could. I don't want to say I don't think I could care that much, but I would feel like there's a degree of diminishing returns.
It is a ridiculous amount of care.
I mean, early Wallace and Gromit, I know you were considering Wallace and Gromit for this week, and the first few shorts, I think it took them like 4 or 5 years for like a 10, 15 minute short.
Wow.
Obviously, they've sped up process since, but that's a long amount of time to make a short film. Obviously, it changed things.
However, I prefer the early ones because you can see fingerprints and nail marks in the clay and stuff. And, like, that's all the charm.
I think it might have been the episode we talked about dreams, but I love that too, that there's something about... This kind of ties in with my pick as well, but something about knowing someone's... There's a degree of the tactile where someone's moved the head and it's changed shape a little bit that makes it kind of uncanny and weird. Especially Wallace and Gromit, some of the earlier ones, they feel a bit weird.
They're slightly creepy as well, yeah.
Yeah, but I like that. Like, that's more interesting than perfection because...
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel you can over-mold anything. You can rewrite too many times. You can ask for too many shots. You can erase certain things in an image that can maybe remove the personality of it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I'm not saying they do with Spirited Away, by the way. I feel like it is, again, pretty much perfect across the board.
No,
sound, even the... This is one thing that I don't know if... When you watch a Ghibli film or any animated film that's not necessarily from the West, do you watch subtitled or do you watch dubbed?
It depends. So with most Studio Ghibli films, it's what I watched first on the telly or watched someone showed me. I always watch Spirited Away in English because that's when I... English dubbed because that's when I first watched it, and I now can't watch the Japanese version, whereas other ones, like From Up on Poppy Hill, I think it was, I saw the Japanese version, and when I hear the English one, it's too annoying. So it's like,
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think I really, apart from martial arts films where it's funny, I really hate when something's dubbed. I'll happily just watch the subtitle because the acting on dubbed films is normally so bad. But Studio Ghibli in particular, they hired actors like Christian Bale and Scarlett Johansson, people who can project their voice and make it sound the way it needs to. I think Ghibli's the only thing where I would quite happily watch with the dubbed version.
Yeah, and they're very clever with slightly changing the lines. I know most people would do this, but to like fit with the mouths. And yeah. I never think of it as a shortcoming. I think they work in all of it, yeah.
I feel like it's, apart from the end and the beginning, which is obviously set in like something of a real world, once she passes through to the spirit world or whatever you would call it, it's so dreamlike that I actually forget what happens in it. So every time I watch it, I feel like I'm watching it for the first time.
That's cool.
And I really love that. Like, I know there's certain images, like the no face. Is it called No Face?
Yeah.
Yeah, No Face, and the woman who's like the witch type. There's so many like little characters in there. Those images stand out, but I forget what the story becomes. I forget the role of different people in it. And yeah, it's one of the few films where I think because it's quite dreamlike and almost surreal in some ways, where, you know, little pieces of soot come into life like spiders, doesn't make sense. That's why maybe it's not lodged in my brain as here's the bit where this happens and then this happens.
It's not completely a straightforward story either, but I don't find a lot of the Studio Ghibli films are, and I wonder if that's different ways of storytelling that we're used to, as opposed to like Japanese storytelling maybe.
But I think he definitely, there's a few video essays talking about how folklore and Japanese mythology is so ingrained in all the Ghibli films, especially this one. And little things that I would never have picked up on. Like, I've been to Japan and I've learnt a fair bit. But things like when they walk through I've forgotten the name of them. I think they're called, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation, Junto Gates.
Where's this at?
Towards the start of the film, they walk through, there's like a passage through an archway. And it's believed that when you go to a Shinto shrine, when you walk through one of these gates, you enter to the spiritual realm. That's the belief there. And there's loads of things like that, which we probably don't pick up on at all, but you do still get a sense of it maybe later on in the film, because, I mean, they're clearly not in the real world, like halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, they hint at it as they're driving up to where their house is. There's these shrines and stuff. And yeah, I think it works whether you know it or not, but I do love those details. Yeah. I think the main image for me that always stuck was the train going through the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, someone imagined that, which I wouldn't have never thought of before, and showed it on a screen. And that's like, when I was really ill, like, I used to have a phobia of throwing up, and I'd like lie on the sofa trying not to throw up, and I'd put on the menu screen for the special features of Spirited Away, and it would just be the train coming through the water again and again to, like, it's called The Sixth Station, one of the piano pieces written for the film. It's just beautiful.
And that, I think you talked about it in the soundtracks episode as well.
Yeah, probably did. Yeah.
Along with Fight Club. Have you got any other films that you were seriously considering for this week? Because I feel bad that we're doing animation as just one week in some ways, because there's so many good ones. Like, they get, there's so, I mean, if we'd made this as something of a radio show like 20 years ago, we'd probably be stuck with a smaller amount. But over the past 10, 20 years, like, there's been a boom in animation, just as much as I'd say documentary, where this is where some of the most interesting things are happening. Are there other films that you were seriously considering talking about this week?
Not really that fit into your description of up and coming stuff. Like, I like a lot of animation. And yeah, Wallace and Gromit was on there. But I was actually thinking to myself, I'd love to know where to get hold of. Chapter Art Centre in Cardiff did a Halloween week a couple of years ago of like loads of shorts. Most of them were like stop motion, and they used a lot of like felt and wool and stuff. And some of those just still haunt me to this day. And again, it's something that I think one of them was this girl who was afraid what she'd do to herself with, like, she saw the knife in the kitchen and you'd just see her like woolen face looking at it for ages. And then she got locked in the shed by her little brother and there's sores everywhere and stuff. And it just,
that sounds really dark.
Terrifying images that could only have been made as terrifying with animation. It's the way they were made so crudely and so naively, like children's play, but darker subject. Like,
That kind of fits in with what I've picked for the week, which,
that's true,
there's something very uncanny, and I don't want to say disturbing because I find a lot of beauty in there, but it's quite an intense experience, right? I mean, so I made sure you got a copy of their collection. So the Key Brothers collection is what I'm talking about, but we're going to focus on Street of Crocodiles, which is probably their masterpiece. It's like, it's only about 20 minutes or so. And it's something very creepy and unnatural. Even when you know something's like the head of a doll, seeing cotton wool be pulled out of the eye holes and stuff like this, there's something, it's an uncomfortable watch sometimes.
Well, I don't know how they made it, but there's occasional like fleshy parts which are truly disgusting, like wet flesh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in this one, but
I honestly don't know how. I know how they would do the stop motion of the characters and the worlds and stuff, but yeah, there are some elements in there that are very textural that I have.
They seem to use like found objects, right? They got like dandelion seeds, and maybe the flesh was like pieces of meat or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're so meticulous. Well, they were so meticulous. I don't think they've been making anything quite recently, but they were so meticulous that I doubt they just found stuff and thought, oh, that would be interesting to throw in there. They strike me as people who like painstakingly went, this is how the face should look on this doll. And yeah, I don't know how to describe the Key Brothers films, so I'm not going to try and do a premise or anything, but it is stop motion, and it's, I first watched this on the Sci-Fi Channel really late at night when I was like, I want to say like 13 or 14, and it really stuck with me. Not because it terrified me or anything, it's just, it, you know, some things just attach themselves to the back of your head and you just can't shake them. I never knew what the name of it was. I never knew what I'd seen. I don't remember if I watched all of it. I think I may have just come in halfway through. And it was only when a housemate, a friend of mine, when I was like 24, 25, said, oh, have you seen any of the Key Brothers films? And he showed me, and I went, oh, I've been looking for this for so long.
I love that moment. Like, it's weirdly, it's so mythical. Rare. Yeah.
Yeah, to not know the name of the thing. and then want to find it. It's almost impossible to find it normally, but
yeah.
Yeah, so the Key Brothers, they used a lot of, I want to say, industrial looking sets that they made, and they used a lot of what looked like puppets and dolls,
like,
and
cracked,
yeah, mechanical stuff you'd find in like an antiques toy shop is kind of the only way to describe it. And they're completely dialogue free. It's usually orchestral music, and I don't know, I really don't know how to describe it. That's why I love it so much, is because it's such a purely visual experience. It feels rusty and ignored, and I don't know what to say about it. That's the problem. Like, it's such a hard thing to describe.
To me, weirdly, the word choreograph came into my head. A lot of it's like a dance that they did with the object.
It's like a dark musical with animated inanimate objects. It feels creepy as hell sometimes, but there is a real sense of heart and humor. For me, it's they seem to capture what it feels like, a post-industrial world, to represent what's happening to our humanity. Like, we seem to be losing our humanity because everything is industry. That's what I take from it anyway. I also take away from it, this is creepy, feels like a nightmare, I can't look away because it's so good. They're very rhythmic, usually set to the music. Some of the camera movements too,
I was just gonna say, I found myself like, weirdly absorbed by it, but also I'm sure there was heart in the making of it, and there's a lot of care involved, but everything just felt really, like, lonely. It alienated me.
Well, that's the
whole time.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's kind of, in some ways, like, the flip side to not just Ghibli, but it's dark, and it's very, like, earnestly dark, that, you know, loneliness exists, and it can feel like this. I mean, there's loneliness in Spirited Away, I would say, because she spends a lot of time on her own trying to figure things out, but this feels like, you know, what it's like to live in a city and not know anyone.
It's unresolved loneliness as well. I don't feel those happy endings or anything.
Yeah, which, you know, I am drawn to with a lot of fiction, because I don't know, if something does something right and it captures something, I'm all for it. I don't need a happy ending. I'm not saying you do, by the way. I know you don't. I know some of your favourite films don't necessarily have happy endings.
I need something with at least a bit of hope. That's always my rule. Like, even a crack of hope would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not renowned for that. They've got a very Eastern European sensibility.
I think what I loved most about their films, which sort of comes back to, like, what you can't do with real films as well, or you could with CGI maybe, but they really go into, like, worlds within worlds within worlds. Like, it'll zoom in on something really weird and a whole different space will open up, and it just feels like feels like a spiral going down and down and down, and you're going into smaller little worlds in it. Yeah,
and it does feel like a nightmare because of that in some ways. Like, you know, I rewatched it, this one in particular, last night, and as much as I love it, you do start to get so immersed that you're like, I can't see how I'm getting out of this. Like, and I also don't want to as well. Like, both of our films have worlds which I love to inhabit, but this one in particular, I like to know when I can get out. It's a bit uncomfortable to watch sometimes. Yeah. I'm probably not sound this very well for people who haven't seen, but I honestly think the Key Brothers films are some of the most criminally overlooked films in not just film history, not just in animation history, but film history. Like, mid-80s to mid-90s was when they were at their peak and making all of these things. And it was only, I think it was only until a couple of years ago that you could only really get sort of like dodgy VHS prints, the old film stock as well. It was only a couple of years ago when filmmakers like Chris Nolan started to remaster their work and try and get people to watch them, which he's not the obvious choice considering he makes huge blockbusters, but...
I thought it might have been someone different. I was like, who's Chris Nolan?
No, sorry, Christopher Nolan.
Very familiar.
Yeah.
Your buddy.
Going from making Interstellar to helping to remaster a film that most people have forgotten, even if they knew about it. My point is, I really want people to watch these films. I know they can be uncomfortable, but for me, it's top five animation of all time. regardless of what the content is. But
they should be watched. They're absolutely beautiful, if haunting. Yeah.
Haunting is definitely the word.
It got me thinking as well, like, you know, there's that thing where humans see like to see human faces in inanimate objects and like to humanize dolls, animals, nature, yeah, yeah.
And
whatever.
And they say that's why people think they see ghosts, because your brain will try and register. I'm doing it right now. I'm looking around the room and I'm registering like what could look like a face, like a folded up jumper. It looks like a really weird mangled face.
Or even windows in a building. We'd like, oh, look, it's a smiley face kind of deal. But yeah, I think half the art of the Key Brothers stuff is making these things look human. I don't know. There's something like we were always one to attach our own feelings onto these things they're moving about, but it's more than that. They've some of the ways the dolls move, you can see exactly what they're thinking. They're like, that's how we all move when we're awkward and someone's told us off, or like stuff like that. Really specific.
Yeah, yeah.
They've really paid attention to how. I don't always see that in Studio Ghibli films. I don't know.
I don't know. I think this the specificity, but I know what you mean about expressions, that a lot of animated film, like hand-drawn or CGI, it's one thing that you can't... They go kind of broad so that people can understand it. And that's why I do love films like this and Anomalisa and... Do you not like Anomalisa?
I didn't enjoy the experience, but it was a good film.
Okay, I love it. There's some things like that where the precision of reactions and the way the eyes move is so good. But I think maybe that's where it gets lost in some studio films, because I love all the films we've talked about, but I think especially with something like the Key Brothers, where they don't have a studio behind them, it's a passion project. They have to really invest their own time and money. So yeah, they will have more time to focus on details, because there's no like deadline looming where you have to release the film. They were just like making these things that they didn't really know or care if anyone's going to watch them. And I think sometimes that's where some of the best art comes from, where there's no expectation of people seeing it.
And it's kind of like the difference between an actor doing the emotion that everyone will recognise and it's the easy way out, versus trying to find something new with it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what they've done for their dolls.
Well, going back to what you said before, I think, yeah, with the Key Brothers, there is perhaps that element of they may have squished the cheeks in a little bit too much by accident and then gone, oh, that looks better than what I'd hoped to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak as an authority, because I wasn't there when they filmed it, and I don't think there's any behind the scenes of how they made the stuff. So
something I found interesting, though, at the end of the film, there was a note like, if we'd had the fun, like, unfortunately, we didn't have enough funds to do this properly as we'd have liked, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is an interesting note to put at the end of the film, almost angrily, we had so much more in us, or I don't know.
But I think in some ways that's probably why they were so good as well, because we talked about this before, that in some ways the more polished something is, yeah, more people see it and it probably be more liked. But then it loses some of its personality. I mean, yeah. Ghibli's an anomaly. Ghibli is definitely an anomaly. And I'm not saying big studio productions can't have heart and they can't be great. I mean, a really good example is, I can't believe I'm saying this, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or Spider-Verse. I'm not a huge fan of Marvel, that goes without saying. But that was some of the most impressive animation I've ever seen too, because they use several different types of animation in there. And it was really well made, and it was a good story, and it had something to say.
Yeah,
I'm going to stop talking about Marvel now.
Did you ever see The Little Prince? I was only just saw it the other week.
Is that the frog one?
No, it's about this little boy who lives on a planet alone with a rose that he's fallen in love with. Well, no, it's not about that. It's about a girl moving to a new place with her mum, but this little prince is the story, and the story is stop motion made with all these different like woods and fabrics, but the main story is CGI, like animation, computer animation. And it's, yeah, I really like the blend of that. It's a nice story too. It's about preserving your childhood, and yeah, she meets this old man who's building a plane in his backyard, and yeah.
You have to check that one out.
But yeah, I didn't think that the Key Brothers needed to apologise at the end of their film that way. Like, I thought they could have just left
it. No, but I think it kind of says something about the mentality of someone who's been working in a basement making this stuff, maybe, that, that there is some mania to what you're doing, and you may be like, they're probably just exhausted because it's such a time-consuming thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of relate to this. When you're making something, like, you want it to be the best it can be, but there's always something at the back of your mind kind of going, no one's going to watch this. What are you doing? Why are you making something? And you have to kind of battle that stuff and create regardless. Yeah. Otherwise, you go insane. But I think, especially with that one, they might have cracked. They might have gone, well, we want it to be good, but it's not. Even though I think it's probably, I mean, they're very different types of animation, but I think we've picked two of the best animations of all time.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not going to disagree with that. I had like one last question because we were talking about how animation gives us like, or gives people this opportunity for fantasy and for anything to happen. But I can't think of many animations that are other genres, like just a comedy or just a horror. Do you reckon this is because it wouldn't be as good as just filming these things, or like?
I mean, they technically do exist, but they're so fringe that no one is aware of them. But they're also like so rare.
Okay.
I think horror would be.
Actually, horror can be quite fantastical, and I have seen those horror shorts. So yeah, maybe not horror, but more like.
As you've said it, I would like to see a stop motion horror. Because it feels so uncanny.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I retract that slightly because I know David Lynch did Rabbits, which was, I think it was people in rabbit suits mixed with some stop motion. I could be wrong there, but there's something very dread-filled about that short. I think the problem with animation is because it's so expensive, it's very rare you find someone who's working on this thing alone. Like, it is very much huge team effort, costs a lot of money, and traditionally is geared towards the family audience. I mean that's where the market lies, obviously, is kids, and they try and throw in some adult jokes that are kind of under the radar just to please the parents too. Like Pixar, to be fair, have been great at both sides of that, making something that's quite playful and light but actually has something serious going on, like climate change or, you know, aging and stuff like this. Even mental, like, I don't know if you saw Inside Out, but
I did after you told me to. I loved it.
I was really impressed with that. Like, it tackled mental health in a very...
in a way I'd never seen before. Way.
Yeah, just kind of accept these emotions as what they are. It wasn't like, let's try and fix you.
Yeah, you need them all.
It was a very, very mature film.
This is also what I like about Studio Ghibli, though. It doesn't quite feel... it feels a bit grown up in a way, even though it's for kids. Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, it doesn't assume that the kid... it never mollycoddles them. Like, a kid watching Spirited Away would probably get it more than an adult, maybe, because they just go with it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of darkness in Ghibli films as well. Yeah. There's, you know, some characters do die, and...
there's ones about war, there's ones about... Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I feel like Disney being kind of, in some ways... they're not competitors, but I would compare the two, is that Disney... the Disneyfication of things tends to be watering it down, so the most amount of people like it to the detriment of the quality. It's happened with Star Wars, it's happened with all kinds of stuff, and I think especially their animation has dropped significantly since the 90s. I know technically they owned Pixar, but it was Pixar's own thing that they bought. They've kind of dwindled, whereas Ghibli, because it takes some risks and because it doesn't necessarily try and just fit a market, and it's about what we do to the planet, how we treat other things, very grown-up ideas. It's, you know, it's metaphysical. It's huge. It's profound. But it's done in a way that, like you say, a kid could understand without having the vocabulary to communicate it, maybe.
Yeah.
That's why they're so good.
Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week, we were talking about animation. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to tune in next week.